Welcome to our Local Voices special presentation called A Glance Back on 94.7 KPIP LP Fayette. A Glance Back is brought to you by the Boonslick Historical Society and its president, respected Fayette community member Jim Steele, journalist, graphic designer, and local historian. Local Voices, A Glance Back, a two-hour program, airs every Monday and Friday starting at noon and then again at 4 p.m. The show focuses on the music, radio features, and history of World War II and beyond as it affected Fayette, America, and the world. Thank you for tuning in to this special edition of Local Voices, only on 94.7 KPIP.
My days have grown so lonely. I've lost my one and only. My pride has been humbled.
How you feel, son?
But I'm for you, body and soul. I was a mere sensation. My heart was caught with no foundation. Although we have tumbled, but I'm for you, body and soul. But life before me, the future stole me. Winter, that's gray and old. Unless it's magic, the end will be tragic and echo the tale that's been told so often. My life relies upon you. What is the good am I without you? My castle has crumbled, but I'm for you, fighting soul.
Follow you.
Stars shining bright above you. Night breezes seem to whisper, I love you. Birds singing in the sycamore tree. Dream a little dream of me. Say nighty night and kiss me. Just hold me tight and tell me you'll miss me. While I'm alone and blue as can be, dream a little dream of me.
Stars fading, but I linger on, dear.
Oh, how you linger on.
Still craving your kiss.
How you crave my kiss.
Now I'm longing to linger till dawn, dear. Just sing this.
Give me a little kiss, sweet dreams, till sunbeams find you. Sweet dreams that leave all worry behind you. But in your dreams, whatever they be, dream a little dream of me.
Buzz, 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 fading, but I linger on, dear, still craving your kiss. Yeah, I'm longing to linger till dawn, dear. Just saying this.
Sweet dreams,
dreaming
till something's fine. You keep dreaming,
gotta keep dreaming.
Leave the worries behind you, but in your dreams, whatever.
Listen as past and present collide with Local Voices, Monday edition from noon to 4 p.m. on 94.7 KPIP.
Today's the day that all us cats must surely do our bit. We all must do our share so Uncle Sam can hit. Save up all your pots and pans. Save up every little thing you can. Don't give it away. Get some cash for your trash, yeah. Save up all that old newspaper. Save and pile it like a high skyscraper. Don't give it away. Get some cash for your trash. In between we'll do some loving. White handsome turtle doving. Will you listen to me, honey? Get plenty of the folding money. Save up all your iron and tin. But when you go to turn it in, don't give it away. Get some cash for your trash. Thank you. loving. When you listen to me, honey, get plenty of the folding money. Save up all your iron and tin. But when you go to turn it in, don't give it away, no, no. Get some cash, get some cash, get some cash for your trash. Get plenty of it, too.
Now it's time to take a look back at the events that shaped this country and the world with This Week in History on KPIP's Local Voices, A Glance Back. In 1529, Francisco Pizarro receives a royal warrant to, quote, discover and conquer Peru. In 1540, Henry VIII of England marries Catherine Howard. Thomas Cromwell is also beheaded on Tower Hill in England. In 1603, Bartholomew Gilbert is killed in Virginia by Indians during a search for the missing Roanoke colonists. In 1615, French explorer Samuel de Champlain discovers Lake Huron on his seventh voyage to the New World. In 1663, the British Parliament passes a Second Navigation Act, requiring all goods bound for the colonies to be sent in British ships from British ports. In 1703, English novelist Daniel Defoe is made to stand in the pillory as punishment for offending the government and church with his satire, quote, The Shortest Way with Dissenters, quote. In 1775, the Continental Congress establishes a postal system for the colonies, with Benjamin Franklin as the first postmaster general. In 1777, the Marquis de Lafayette arrives in New England to help fight the British. The Marquis of Lafayette is Fayette's namesake. In 1790, the U.S. Patent Office opens. In 1830, King Charles X of France issues 5 ordinances limiting the political and civil rights of citizens. In 1834, slavery is abolished throughout the British Empire, preceding our 13th Amendment to the American Constitution by 31 years. The 13th Amendment freed all slaves in America and was passed by the American Congress 31 years after the British on January 31st, 1865. In 1847, Liberia becomes the first African colony to become an independent state. In 1848, the French army suppresses the Paris Uprising. In 1858, Japan signs a treaty of commerce and friendship with the United States. In 1862, Confederates are routed by Union guerrillas at Moores Hill, Missouri. In 1868, the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, which guarantees citizenship to all those born or naturalized in the United States, is adopted. In 1872, the first long-distance gas pipeline in the U.S. is completed. Designed for natural gas, the 2-inch pipe ran 5 miles from Newton Wells to Titusville in Pennsylvania. In 1873, San Francisco's first cable cars begin running, operated by Halliday's Clay Street Hill Railroad Company. In 1875, a former president, Andrew Johnson, dies at the age of 66. In 1904, the Trans-Siberian Railroad connecting the Ural Mountains with Russia's Pacific coast is completed. In 1909, Orville Wright sets a world record for staying aloft in an airplane 1 hour, 12 minutes, and 40 seconds. In 1914, British troops invade the streets of Dublin, Ireland, and begin to disarm Irish rebels. Meanwhile, Germany has declared war on Russia. In 1919, federal troops are called out to put down Chicago race riots. In 1920, the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution is ratified. The 19th Amendment to the United States Constitution granted women the right to vote. It was ratified on July 26, 1920, after a long struggle known as the women's suffrage movement. In 1921, Adolf Hitler becomes the president of the National Socialist German Workers' Party, otherwise known as the Nazis. 11 years later, Adolf Hitler's Nazis double its strength in legislative elections. In 1921, Canadians Sir Frederick Banting and Charles Best isolate insulin at the University of Toronto. In 1932, the bonus army of impoverished World War I veterans is violently pushed out of Washington, D.C. In 1938, George Eastman demonstrates his color motion picture process. In 1944, the Polish underground begins an uprising against the occupying German army as the Red Army approaches Warsaw. In 1945, a B-25 bomber crashes into the Empire State Building in New York City, killing 13 people. In 1946, President Harry S. Truman establishes the Atomic Energy Commission. In 1948, in an executive order, Truman calls for the end of discrimination and segregation in the U.S. Armed Forces. In 1957, USA and Canada create the North American Air Defense Command, otherwise known as NORAD. In 1960, singer Chubby Checker releases The Twist, creating a new dance craze. The song had been released by Hank Ballard and the Midnighters the previous year, but that one got little attention. In 1965, President Lyndon Johnson sends an additional 50,000 troops to South Vietnam. Meanwhile, on the home front, President Johnson, nicknamed LBJ, signs the Medicare bill into law. In 1966, Charles Whitman, shooting from the Texas Tower at the University of Dallas, kills 16 people and wounds 31 before being killed himself. In 1971, Apollo 15 astronauts take a drive on the moon in their Land Rover. In 1975, Teamster leader Jimmy Hoffa disappears. He was last seen coming out of a restaurant in Bloomingfield Hills, Michigan. In 1981, William Wyler, director of Ben-Hur, passes away. Also in 1981, Prince Charles, then heir to the throne of England, marries Lady Diana. In 1990, baseball commissioner Faye Vincent forces George Steinbrenner to resign as principal partner of the New York Yankees. In 1990 as well, Bosnia-Herzegovina declares independence from Yugoslavia. In 1991, the U.S. and the USSR sign a long-range nuclear weapons reduction pact. In 1996, discovery of remains of a prehistoric man near Kennewick, Washington, casts doubts on accepted beliefs of when, how, and where the Americas were populated. In 2003, the last of the uniquely shaped, old-style Volkswagen Beetles rolls off the assembly line in Mexico. In 2005, astronomers announced the discovery of a dwarf planet named Eris, leading the International Astronomical Union to clarify the definition of a planet. Also in 2005, the IRA, or Irish Republican Army, announces an end to its 30-year campaign in Northern Ireland. And the Shuttle Discovery launches mission STS-114 in 2005, marking a return to space after the Shuttle Columbia crash of 2003. Remember to tune in next week for another look back at the events that shaped this country and the world with This Week in History on KPI. VIPs, a glance back.
Now, Dawson also ran. Britain's guiding star, known both near and far, wearing the famous bulldog grin and smoking a big cigar. He's a grand old man. For us, he's doing all he can. He's bound to find the turning, however long the lane. Then we'll see the rain, for when we chase away the rain. For what we've done before, we know we'll jolly well do again. If we follow the grand old man, he's the grand old man. Never was an also ran. Britain's guiding star, known both near and far, wearing the famous bulldog grin and smoking a big cigar. He's the grand old man. For us, he's doing all he can. And now it's up to you and me, we've got a job to do. We know that we have got the stuff that's going to see us through. There's the Army and the Air Force and the boys in Navy Blue. And we still got the grand old man.
Fayette's resident historian Jim Steele is on 94.7 KPIP. Local Voices, A Glance Back. I'm Rachel Steele, and as we mentioned earlier in this broadcast, it was this week, back in 1932, that the Bonus Army of impoverished World War I veterans was violently pushed out of Washington, D.C., following a protest. The Bonus Army was a group of 43,000 demonstrators, made up of 17,000 U.S. World War I veterans, together with their families and affiliated groups, troops who gathered in Washington, D.C. in mid-1932 to demand early cash redemption of their service bonus certificates. On the scene was Major General Smedley Darlington Butler, nicknamed Old Gimlet Eye. He was a senior United States Marine Corps officer who fought in both the Mexican Revolution and World War I. During his 34-year career as a Marine, he participated in military actions in the Philippines, China, and Central America. He was also involved in fighting in the Caribbean during the Banana Wars and in France during World War I. Butler was, at the time of his death, the most decorated Marine in U.S. history. Here is Major General Smedley Darlington Butler sharing his thoughts on the Bonus Army demonstration and its causes.
Makes me so whole lot of people speak of you. By God, they didn't speak of you as tramps in 1917 and 18. No. Let me tell you something. I've been all over the world. I've seen you fellas on the streets in Washington. There isn't as well-behaved group of citizens in the world as sitting right in this camp. Take it from me. This is the greatest demonstration of Americanism we've ever had. Pure Americanism. Willing to take this beating as you've taken it. Stand right steady. You keep every law. And why in the hell shouldn't you? Who in the hell has done all the bleeding for this country and for this law and this Constitution anyhow but you fellas?
That was Major General Smedley Darlington Butler sharing his thoughts on the Bonus Army demonstration and its causes. Butler later became an outspoken critic of American wars and their consequences. In 1935, Butler wrote a book entitled War is a Racket, where he describes and criticizes the workings of the United States in its foreign affairs, actions, and wars. Many members of the Bonus Army the Major General was supporting had been out of work since the beginning of the Great Depression, which began in 1929 and lasted until the late 1930s. The government, during World War I, issued the World War Adjusted Compensation Act of 1924, which awarded veterans bonuses in the form of certificates. However, those certificates could not be redeemed until 1945. President Herbert Hoover ordered the U.S. Army to clear the Bonus Army's marchers' campsite. Army Chief of Staff General Douglas MacArthur expelled the Bonus Army marchers, along with their wives and children, from their camp. After the all-clear was given, MacArthur ordered their shelters and belongings be burned. After the election of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the president offered out-of-work veterans work with the CCC, or Civilian Conservation Corps. Those who chose not to work for the CCC were given transportation home from Washington. Then, in 1936, Congress voted to pay the veterans their bonus 9 years early. For KPIP's Local Voices, A Glance Back, I'm Rachel Steele.
We'll be right back.
World War II with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you.
Listening to 94.7 KPIP. This is Local Voices, A Glance Back. I'm Rachel Steele. As you may remember from previous parts of our show, this week back in 1945, a B-25 bomber crashed into the Empire State Building in New York City, killing 13 people. It was on Saturday, July the 28th, 1945, that Lieutenant Colonel William F. Smith Jr. was piloting a B-25 Mitchell bomber on a routine personnel transport mission from Bedford Army Airfield in Massachusetts to Newark Metropolitan Airport in New Jersey. Smith asked for clearance to land, but he was advised of zero visibility. Proceeding anyway, he became disoriented by the fog and turned right instead of left after passing the Chrysler Building. Here is a description of the events that happened at 9:40 a.m. Saturday, July 28, 1945, as the aircraft crashed into the north side of the Empire State Building.
At the corner of 5th Avenue and 34th Street in the center of New York's shopping district stands the world's tallest building, 1,248 feet high, the Empire State Building. It's a gigantic place filled with offices and workers, almost a business city on its own. A building with express lifts and wonderful views that attract all visitors. This was the scene of the recent plane crash. It happened when workers were at their desks on a Saturday morning between 9 and 10 o'clock. Miles away, a Mitchell bomber had taken off from Bedford, Massachusetts. The pilot, flying over LaGuardia Airfield, was advised to land because of fog. But he headed for Newark instead. The route he actually took led him straight through the fog into the Empire State Building. The plane crashed into the 78th and 79th stories at a speed of about 200 miles an hour. It smashed through seven walls. Blazing petrol set 11 stories of the building on fire. No one knew what had happened. The wildest rumors spread through New York. But firemen were on the job, and in very quick time, they had the fires out. 13 lives, in addition to those of the crew of three, were lost instantly. Many others received burns, injuries, and shock. One body was found on a ledge 7 stories down. The scene, in fact, both in the building and in the street, was reminiscent of an incident in a blitz. The death roll, tragic as it was, seemed miraculously small. One of the plane's props was found embedded in the wall. One of the lifts plunged down 80 floors. One of the Mitchell's engines crashed almost 1,000 feet below. The other hurtled across the building and fell on the penthouse on the roof of a 12-story building in the next street. Other parts of the bomber crashed into the busy 34th Street. Yet no one down there was injured. Here it also looked like an incident, But 2 days later, the Empire State Building was open again. Business as usual, in fact.
Because the crash occurred on Saturday, the casualties from the crash were limited. Despite the damage and loss of life, the building was opened again for business on many floors on the next Monday morning. That's less than 48 hours after the crash. The crash spurred the passage of the long-pending Federal Tort Claims Act of 1946, as well as the insertion of retroactive provisions into the law, allowing people to sue the government for the accident. You're listening to 94.7 KPIP's Local Voices, A Glance Back.
Jones came in one night, full of cheer and very bright. He'd been out all day upon the spree. He bumped into Sergeant Smeck, put his arms around his neck, and in his ear he whispered tenderly,
"Kiss me goodnight, Sergeant Major. Tuck me in my little wooden bed. We all love you, Sergeant Major. When we hear you boring, surely don't forget to wake me in the morning and bring me round a nice hot cup of tea. Kiss me goodnight, Sergeant Major. Sergeant Major, be a mother to me.
Kiss me goodnight, Sergeant Major. Love me my poor plates of meat or sore. Oh, kiss me goodnight, Sergeant Major.
And don't forget to shut the blinking door. I want to dream of dear old Effie Hempstead. The bull and bush ain't off the place for me, Cork Lino. Kiss me goodnight, Sergeant Major. Sergeant Major, be a mother to me.
Chicken run, but owing to conditions, I'm now down to one. I give her all the titbits, the dear little thing, and just to keep her up to scratch, I go to her and sing.
Hey, little hen, when will you lay me an egg for my tea? Hey, little hen, when will you try to supply one for me?
best. Get it off your chest. I can do the rest. Hey, little hen, when will you lay me an egg for my tea? Hey, little hen,
when will you lay me an egg for my tea?
Hey, little hen,
now when will you try to supply one for me? Get into your nest, do your little best, get it off your chest, then I can do the rest.
Hey, little hen,
when will you lay me an egg for my tea?
Take a glance at the past and present with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP. Listening to 94.7 KPIP's Local Voices, A Glance Back. I'm Rachel Steele. As we mentioned earlier in this broadcast, it was this week, back in 1960, that singer Chubby Checker released The Twist, creating a new dance craze. Chubby Checker is an American rock and roll singer and dancer. He's widely known for popularizing many dance styles, including the twist dance style, with his 1960 hit cover of Hank Ballard and the Midnighters' R&B song, The Twist. Chubby Checker was born Ernest Evans on October 3rd, 1941, in Spring Gully, South Carolina. He was raised in the projects of South Philadelphia, and by age 8, Evans formed a street corner harmony group. And by the time he entered high school, he took piano lessons at Settlement Music Group, a community musical school with branches in and around Philadelphia. He entertained his classmates by performing vocal impressions of popular entertainers of the day, such as Jerry Lee Lewis, Elvis Presley, and Fats Domino. Listen in as Dick Clark interviews Chubby Checker on American Bandstand.
Gosh, I've waited so long for you to come back.
Thank you. I've been...
Oh, just shut up. Tell me about your friends. They get your composure back.
Well, this man on the keyboards is Wade Boger. He comes from New York.
Wade, nice to have you with us over here.
And this gentleman's name is Robert Walsh. He is from around Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Robert, nice to have you with us on drums. We have.
And this is Sammy Marandino. He's from Akron, Ohio.
Akron, Ohio. Hey! On bass.
And this is Joe Martinez. He is from New York.
Joe, nice to have you with us. And on sax.
And this is Baxter Robertson. He is from Los Angeles.
There you go. Hey, you've answered this question. We've talked about it. We've sat backstage over the last 18 years doing a lot of shows together, and you're out there doing your stuff. One of the things that's aggravated you all these years is something that I found hard to believe. You're a living legend. You sold 40 million copies of a famous record at one time. Your name is known by all generations, but you didn't make any records in all those years. Why?
Well, I really didn't have anything to say. The Twist changed the world. Ever since The Twist was done on Bandstand all those years ago, dancing just changed. It never was the same again. I just didn't have much to say. I just played night after night, very much like the song Running, just running. You know, I had control of it. Then I just lost it. And I think maybe we have it by the tail a little bit again.
I'm so glad you are back.
That was Dick Clark interviewing Chubby Checker on American Bandstand. Some of the honors Chubby Checker won were these. Chubby Checker's The Twist was named the biggest chart hit of all time by Billboard magazine. He was also honored by Settlement Music School as part of the school's centennial celebration and named to the Settlement 100, a list of notable people connected to the school. He also received the prestigious Sandy Hosey Lifetime Achievement Award from the Artists Music Guild. So now, let's head back to the 1960s as Dick Clark introduces Chubby Checker and his first hit, The Twist.
The country all over the place. Hottest dance sensation in the last 4 years, a thing called The Twist. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Chubby Checker.
Yeah.
Enjoy the good old days when the world came together to fight for the good of all. This is Local Voices with historian Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP. You've been listening to A Glance Back on Local Voices with Fayette's own Jim Steele, president of the Boonslick Historical Society. Catch another edition of A Glance Back with Jim Steele, a two-hour program which airs every Monday and Friday starting at noon and then again at 4 p.m. only on 94.7 KPIP.